This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick is back from GABF, and we got the crew from Bold Dog Beer Co. in the house. It's been a couple years since they've been on the podcast, so we got a lot of stuff to catch up on, hear what they're doing, taste some of their beer. So get ready for that, and we'll dive into GABF next week.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Rah, rah, rah!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad. What's up? I'm Nick Way.
And we got some special guests in the studio, returning guests.
Yes, we do.
In the studio. Bold Dog Beer Co. is back. Welcome, guys.
Thanks
for having us back.
Yeah, it's been, I think it was like 2 years I saw your text message. We usually only text, like, least. I'm on my way. But yeah, welcome back. You guys want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. I'm Jerome Stantz, co-owner, founder, head brewer, graphic artist, jack of all trades, delivery guy.
And I'm Sherry O'Connell, also now Stantz.
Nice, congratulations.
Thank you. And I do everything else, / co-owner and assistant brewer.
Her title's a lot more simple than yours. Yeah. You got like 5 titles. Yeah, she's like,
I can't draw, so I get to take out all of that graphic art stuff.
She does have one label for, it's a sour, and because it's nice and tart, we stylized it as Sherry Can't Art or Sherry Can Tart.
It's stick figures, and they're super good.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, we're usually talking about what's happening last week in Chicago, but Nick was out at GABF, and so...
Yeah, skip town.
It's a perfect time to have a guest on and talk about what they're doing.
It's true.
Yeah, so a lot has changed since 2 years ago.
Yep.
You now have beer in cans. That's
We have beer on the market.
On the market. Yeah, so, you know, a couple years ago, it would have been right before we were licensed. So it took... just under an entire year to get all of our licensing. Quick shout out. So we brought two beers today, our two canned releases. We have Tilly, which is a mango papaya Hefeweizen, and then we have Kiss, which is one of our flagship beers. It's a Citra Hop Saison. The Tilly is 4.6 ABV, and then the Kiss is 7.4. So a little high on the beer judging scale, but still a delicious beer, in my opinion.
Ooh, what made you go mango papaya?
So my older brother lives back in my hometown, which is about 150 miles away. And 3 years ago, I asked him if he wanted to grow hops for us in his backyard. And we didn't really give him a choice. I mean, he reluctantly said yes, but it's actually something he's grown to really enjoy.
Okay.
But we put a couple Cascade plants, Centennial, Willamette, and Northern Brewer, and we've only got yield from the Cascade. So as a thank you, he doesn't really drink craft beer. He sticks with his Crown Royal and his Bud Light usually. Okay. And his girlfriend doesn't really drink beer either, but she does like summer shandy, so we're like, let's do something light, easy drinking, fruity, and we had never brewed with mango or papaya. So
they sounded good together, so.
Yeah, no. I'm digging it. I like it.
Yeah, it works. It totally works.
Yeah.
Well, cheers.
Yeah.
So part of your celebratory, part of the honeymoon was like you guys were in Munich for the actual Oktoberfest,
yeah,
right?
We were everywhere.
I don't know if you guys know this about us, but we really like beer.
Oh, okay.
So we kind
of...
You
may not know that.
Yeah. I know. It's very shocking. So we basically, when trying to figure out what we wanted to do for our honeymoon, originally he had said, you know, let's get married in October. And I said, well, why don't we get married in September? And then we can go to Munich and go to Oktoberfest. And he was like, that's
That sounds bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Had either one of you guys been before?
No. First time both of us, either of us had ever been to Europe. He actually didn't even have a passport up until a year ago.
Right. Okay. What'd you guys think, man? That's a bucket list item. We talk about it all the time on the show.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
it was awesome.
I think the coolest part about it, I mean, I can't remember who described it this way, but they said the fairgrounds is basically alcoholic Disneyland. And it is. There's rides everywhere.
Happiest place on earth.
Yeah. rides absolutely everywhere. Games, awesome food. And then you have the 14 main big tents. And then you have like smaller little like beer gardens for the smaller breweries in Germany. So the first day we were there, we're in Hofbräu. And their tent is a little bit more unique in that it does have a common area where you can just kind of like go and stand in the middle of the tent, mm-hmm. and then it's surrounded by all the reserve tables. Whereas Löwenbräu, which is where we went that Thursday, you had to have a reservation for the tables. But
it was awesome though. Yeah, we went to Dublin. We were there just for 2 days. It more was just like an extended layover. Then we were in Belgium for 5 nights, and then 2 different places in Germany for a total of 6 days. Mm-hmm. So it was a solid.
Did you guys get lederhosen and all
the
absolutely.
Air?
You have to, right?
Yeah. So there's a little shop up in Lincoln Square called Designs by Ingrid, mm-hmm. I think.
Okay.
Yep.
And it's this woman that's from Germany that makes lederhosen and dirndls. So we went up there probably like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And then the Oktoberfest up in Lincoln Square was the week before we got married.
Okay.
So we practiced.
We got our drinking arms ready.
Yeah, okay.
So practiced there, and then, like I said, a week later, we were in Europe. So
mm-hmm. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Were any of the beers you guys were trying, like trying to influence some of the beers you're thinking of brewing coming up, or any that you're currently doing?
That's actually something we talked about in depth while we were over there, trying to figure out... you know, we both really like, you know, I really like Belgian style beer. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we will, but I know one of the ones that I would like to eventually brew is a Helles.
Okay.
They're probably one of my favorite German styles. Obviously, we'd love to brew some sort of Fest beer or Marzen, but
that'll
obviously wait until next September.
Honestly, the beers that stood out to me the most in Germany were the Dunkels.
Mm-hmm.
I've always preferred darker beers to begin with. And I think, you know, the Löwenbräu Dunkel was awesome. I'm trying to think of some of the others. The hotel we actually stayed at had a brewery on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
So we would just go down into the lobby and they had a little brew pub right there. So
yeah.
that was nice. But their Dunkel was great as well.
It was a deciding factor when it came to where we wanted to stay.
If
we could stay here,
yeah.
Or we could stay at this hotel that's cheaper. Priorities, and it has a brewery.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, Belgium definitely had the more unique beers, I would say. We went to the steakhouse one night, and they had kind of like a house beer. And that was... It was like a tart brown that was aged in...
Wine barrels?
I can't remember what kind of wine barrels, but that one was really, really good, and it paired really well with the steak. We went to the Belgian Beer Museum one day and kind of hung out there.
We were supposed to actually go to the museum and, like, walk through it and, like, learn about Belgian beer, but instead we just went to the bar.
It's the best way to learn about Belgian beer.
I learned so much.
I've always really liked quads, so I'd really like to do a Belgian quad. We've been kind of toying with a recipe for a while using pomegranate molasses, and it would be a quad with molasses, so we'd call it Colossus.
Okay.
But we haven't done that on the big stage yet, so.
Sounds really good.
But now in Germany, you were like, at Oktoberfest, all these big breweries have tents,
yeah.
But in Belgium, there was no big central party, so you had to hit different breweries. What are some of the stops you made?
We went to De Halfman, which basically translates to the Half Moon, which you can actually get. I don't know if it's everywhere, but I know you can get it in Chicago. Their quad and their triple were outstanding. Don't drink three of them, though, because you end up shuffling around your hotel later, singing songs and talking into a pillow.
Okay.
Yep. There is photographic evidence of that. I think there's a couple Snapchats of Sherry just kind of talking to herself. But The other cool thing about the other cool thing about their brewery is they actually have pipes that run underneath the city that go to certain locations. So they'll brew it at the brewery and then they send it through the pipes through the city.
That's
pretty crazy.
That's in Bruges, where we stayed for 3 days. We were in Brussels, though. We didn't go to any breweries. We went to Cantillon.
We went to Cantillon, which was awesome. And then we went to the Brewdog.
Brewdog's in Belgium, too?
Yeah. They have a brew pub there. We had their 41% beer.
Was it their Sink the Bismarck and Tactical Nuclear or Penguin?
Sink the Bismarck.
Sink the Bismarck,
Is our first party, that's what we had those there. We were super excited about them a long time ago.
Yeah. I liked it. She did not.
It was very early for it. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning, and I just wasn't...
You're not ready for
it. I wasn't prepared for it.
And it's more like a brandy at that point, right? Yeah. It's like 40%.
It wasn't even beer. Yeah. I kept putting like little drops of water in it, being like, maybe like it's like a whiskey. Yeah. Put like a little bit of water, and it just kind of... It was delicious, but not for me.
Okay.
Where I just enjoyed the entire thing.
Also enjoyed mine.
Yeah, to me it just tasted like a super strong barley wine. Because, I mean, it had that alcohol punch to it, obviously, but it also had a pretty big hop presence.
It was really caramelly, too.
Yeah, I didn't expect that much hop out of it, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
And I've not had that one yet.
It's bizarre. I mean, I would try it once. I think one and done, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And so. Don't drink an entire bottle of it.
No.
Probably die.
Yeah.
Or at least not feel good after you're done.
So you guys were brewing with the Lake Effect crew at one point, right?
Yeah, we still are.
Oh, so they got, I didn't know Lake Effect had cans. I thought you guys might have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we go through Midwest Mobile Canning. They supply a couple other breweries in the city as well. A lot of the cans that you see with the shrink wrap, that's kind of one of their signatures, is they do the shrink wrap cans. I don't think I'm at liberty to say what the other clients are, but we've been using them, yes.
Okay.
And now I have a question for you guys, if you don't mind me.
No questions. No further questions.
So we've been going back and forth with our next batch. I think we're going to do our coffee milk stout, which was really popular last winter. We're thinking about either putting it in cans, or we'll go back to the bomber route. So the bombers, we've noticed, they don't move as quickly as the cans do.
Right.
But is it weird to drink a stout out of a can?
No. I think
I personally don't think it is.
I hate it.
I think
but I did see, I saw Hunter in cans, and I was like, I don't dig this at all. But then, like a month later, you're over it.
Yeah.
So it's a recent thing. I say, yes, it's okay. But I didn't always feel that way. Until last month, I didn't feel that way.
Because you've had it in bottles before.
I've always had it in bottles,
So if you had never had it or seen it in bottles, would you feel that same way?
No, probably not. No.
It's just, I don't know.
When you put it like that, I mean.
Something about it, and I've never thought that beer, even stouts out of a can, tastes bad or anything. I don't know what it is about it. When I think of a stout, I think of it in a bottle. And so it's very difficult for me to, picture myself, cracking open a can, and it's a stout. I don't know.
But see, you know, Oscar Blues, 1050, that comes in a can. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite stouts of all time.
That's fair.
I don't know. I've been joking around with her that
I gotta get over
all the Revolution big beers are moving to cans.
True.
Yeah.
All the barrel aged stuff.
Basically, I just need to get over it. And I am very aware of
it's
that.
It's tough. I really don't buy bombers unless I see something that we want to do here on the show.
Right.
Otherwise, I have zero reason to buy a bomber for myself at home.
Yeah.
I would much rather have a can and have a couple of them than one that I'm like, well, this 12% beer is great, but I'm not going to have another pour of it because it's a bomber.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
okay. Fine.
They're starting to go. I know Pipeworks, even though their mainstream stuff is in cans, all their specialty stuff is still in bombers.
Yeah.
But other than them, other big breweries, I think everyone is shifting. Making a shift to cans, right? Or already shifted.
I'm still seeing a lot of stuff from Mars that are coming out in bombers.
Oh, yeah.
We did a tasting at Capone's on Saturday, and I think they had 20-some beers that were still in bombers or the 750s. I mean, I would say they're the ones that I noticed the most that still have a ton of bombers out there. Which, I have no problem with bombers.
Yeah, I like bombers.
I've just noticed that our sales, tend to move quicker with the cans.
Well, yeah, like the liquor store right here, Miska's,
yeah.
Their bombers are in a whole other part of the store, so you don't see them at all.
Right.
And so they are usually old and outdated, yeah. And that's kind of what's happening with bombers. If people pick them up, they're like, well, this is old. Like, yeah. Now why do I trust this another bomber?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think it would be incredible to drink like a 15% barley wine that's been barrel aged in a 16-ounce can, but that's me.
So then how long have you guys been at Lake Effect? Like, how long has that been, that relationship, and how'd that happen? How'd that work out?
So it's coming up on 3 years.
Yeah, because I think the last time that we were on the podcast, we didn't know if we were allowed to say that we were working with them yet.
Yeah,
since it was still really new.
Yeah, so it's an alternating proprietorship. So, you know, they're the host brewery. We have our own 7-barrel tank in there. All of our cooperage is ours. You know, we pay them to use their brew house. And then we use their bottling equipment, and then we usually split the run on the cans when we do the cans. I think it'll be 3 years on this upcoming Valentine's Day. We actually went to Lake Effect and volunteered and helped them bottle and label their, it was one of their barrel age releases. I can't remember that off the top of my head.
Was that with the hope of trying to get in there, or just
no?
Just
that
to
was.
Be, like,
I think
just
we
to
were just like,
okay.
What better way to spend Valentine's Day than bottling beer?
Yeah, that was. I saw something from Clint that said, "Hey, looking for volunteers," and I was like,
yeah.
"Hey, do you want to do that? That could be kind of cool." And we did that, and we helped out a couple other times. And when we were members of the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild. We sent out a feeler because we were looking for, you know, originally we tried doing a Kickstarter that was unsuccessful. We did a couple rounds of investors that never actually invested. We got denied from Chase. We went with another round of investors and got enough capital to get a small business loan from Axion. So once we got that loan, then we started getting the ball rolling. So I just threw something out on the guild chain and said, hey, you know, we're looking for someone to do an alt prop with. And Clint recognized my name, and he said, hey, would you be interested in working with us? And I said, yeah, that would be amazing. So we helped them out for probably a full year before even our licensing was finalized. Well, more than that, because we just got our license last November.
Okay.
And we've been kind of helping out with them. I've brewed I don't know how many batches of their beer for them just to... you know, get familiar with their system, so when it came time that we were ready to go, you know.
You knew what you were doing.
Yeah, I knew what I was doing.
And he trusted that you could
do
it.
Yeah, exactly.
He knew that we could run a brew day without having supervision.
Yeah, I think it was not tumultuous, but I think there wasn't that trust built yet at the very beginning.
Okay.
But one day, you know, we were brewing, and I can't remember what happened exactly, but Sherry stepped in. Because I was doing the brew day, and Sherry stepped in and just took over for the rest of it. And I think once he saw her doing everything and was like, okay, they do know what they're doing. Like, I can relax a little bit. So.
Yeah, we've had Clint on, and you've known him for a while, too.
Yeah.
Clint's an interesting guy.
He's a cool guy. We like him.
I like that. Clint's a likable guy. Yeah. We always do our Moscow Mules at the end of every time we go, he'd ride back with us. We'd always finish off with Moscow Mules after Brewers.
Yeah. I was saying earlier, you know, I think the last time we saw you was when Phoenix was still around, and it was after a tour.
Oh, is that the bar on the corner?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't understand why that intersection doesn't hop more than it should. Like, it's right off the explorer. We're talking like Cicero and Montrose.
Yeah.
Like, there's never really been anything that's stuck there, you know.
But I feel like Old Irving's doing well.
Yeah, Old Irving.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
On the other side, yeah.
I haven't been there yet.
It's really good. The food's amazing.
Their food's pretty good.
I dig that place a lot.
Okay.
It's cool.
One day. all right, so what's the other beer? Let's dive into
Kiss.
That one.
So this is Keep It Simple Series. It's a Citra Saison, Smash Saison. So 100% Pilsner malt, 100% Citra hops, and then we use Omega Yeast's Saison Steam Monster. So it's...
cans are a little full.
Yeah. 7.5%, about 60 IBUs. Some people say it drinks more like a Belgian IPA, but you definitely get that unique Saison character out of it. And I think it plays really well with the Citra hops. It just gives you that very unique fruitiness to it. This is the first beer that we had people say, you know, this is a good beer, and you know, I think you would do well with this one. You know, I've always thought it was going to be our number one seller, and our black IPA has actually been the most popular.
Oh, really?
Which yeah. I'm so sorry we did not bring with us today because we are out.
Yeah, we well, ran out. Yeah, we ran out of it on Saturday at the Tasting at Capone's. So it's a good thing.
Oh, is that the not the Capone's Appreciation Day? You guys were just there doing the tasting.
Like, yeah, we were there for tasting. Right. Yeah, Capone's Appreciation Day.
We did do that
Day.
Last year, but yeah. We got married on the Appreciation Day this year, so
we had to miss it.
Yeah,
we had other things that day.
I thought, yeah, I dig that. It has like almost like a little piney taste. Like it feels, I don't know, it feels bright and it's outdoorsy.
Think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of good. Right.
I like the nose on this one.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's like that. It's marmalade, but it's like a, not like orange marmalade, like lime or something, like lime and orange.
So I've found out through trial and error that one of my habits, or not a habit, but just something that I do is whenever we do can something, I shotgun one, like right as it's coming off of the canning line. So if you shotgun a 7.5% beer, you feel pretty good after.
Nice. Okay.
And I would not recommend shotgunning the Hefeweizen because it gets pretty thick the last couple ounces.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, you usually want to go with those Pilsners or whatever because they go down really easy.
The real fun thing will be watching him if we do the coffee milk stout.
Yeah, see,
watching
so that him, should be yeah. the reason you want the cans.
I'm going to hold you to it. Or I'll take a video and we'll post it on Facebook.
Throw it up on Instagram and the tweets and
need
all that.
All that content, that's what you need. That's awesome. So what's moving forward? What are you guys trying to? What's the plan? And like, where can people find beer? Like, what's that?
Yeah, the best way to find out where we're at is to go to our website. It's bulldogbeerco.com/locations, and I have an integrated Google map that's got all of our accounts right there. So you can look them up on there. But we mostly are in the north side of the city. You know, we live in Roscoe Village North Center, so we focus a lot in that area.
Yeah.
So we're at, you know, Bitter Pops, Bottles and Cans, Capone's. We got a couple spots in Logan Square, your Happy Place Liquors, Vos Foremost.
Stellar Wine Company.
Stellar
down
Wine
on,
Company.
Clark and Belmont, basically. Madison Vine Wines down in the West Loop.
I'm forgetting. Printers Row Wine Shop down there. And then we have a few accounts. In the burbs, and then we have two accounts basically back in my hometown, which is about 150 miles away. Mm-hmm. But we go back every couple months and usually drop off a keg or two and a couple cases. Because ever since we started this, all the people from my hometown was like, Where can I get it? And it's like, well, go to the one bar in town and
they'll
it's
have
there.
Some of it. Yeah. How's self distributing been? I know like Clint also does it,
yes,
and it seems like. He is
but
basically
Clint is big
is
enough
like
that he can
crazy.
Hire employees.
Yeah, but he's like still doing it himself some days, or it sounds like, or at least last time we talked.
Yeah. So I think right now I believe there's 4 employees of Lake Effect, where with us it is literally just us two.
Okay.
So normally what I do if I know I need to make a delivery that week, I'll work from home. We're both still working our day jobs. And I kind of plan my week of, I'm going to work from home this day, I'm going to run during my lunch break, and then sign back into work as soon as I drop it off. It can be a pain when you get the bigger orders. You know, like when you're having to lift 3 or 4 half barrels and then 12 cases, or, you know, that gets
it.
A bit tiring. I'm really lucky I didn't shatter my kneecap a couple months ago because I mean, we just have our normal car. We don't have an actual delivery van.
Okay.
But I was pulling a half barrel out of the back, and I usually set it on my thigh and, like, kind of ease it to the ground. But I set it right on top of my kneecap and just, like, slid it off of my knee, and that did not feel good at all.
Nope. Ouch.
Okay. But no crushed toes yet.
Yeah, because I feel like the beer lifestyle is often feels glamorous to people that aren't in it. But when you're distributing yourself and doing so much yourself, it's
I mean,
if you want to see the most glamorous part of brewing, so for Craft Beer Week, we did a We did a couple one-off beers. One, we did a black cherry version of our black IPA, and we just did two barrels of that, so it was a couple kegs. And then the original plan was we were going to brew our double IPA, which we call the AK Warrior. We use Warrior hops for a lot of our bittering hops, but that one specifically is Amarillo and Kent Golding, so you get a little bit of the citrus out of the Amarillo, and then like a earthy piney from the Kent Golding, which is an English hop. So we were going to brew that, and we were going to put mango in it. And then, so we were transferring the yeast to repitch it, clean the tank, and the gasket on the fermenter popped off, and I got covered in yeast and hops.
Oh, wow.
So that is the glamorous part of brewing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when it happened, you know, I was covered head to toe, and she comes running over, and she's like, "Oh my God, are you okay?" I'm like, "All of our yeast is on the floor." She's like, "That's what you're worried about?" I'm like, "Yeah, like, there goes our brew day." And she's like, "I'm surprised you have an eardrum right now. It was that loud when it popped off."
Oh. And he turned his head, so it just, I mean, all of that yeast and sludge just right down the
ear
canal.
I was cleaning that on my ear for 3 days afterwards. Man. So we were in the middle of our brew day. Luckily for us, like I said, Omega Yeast Lab is two doors down. So I walked in there completely covered still. And the guy is like, "Are you all right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine. Do you have anything that I can pitch into this beer? I'm in the middle of my boil and I need something like right now."
Yeah.
It's like, "Let me call my boss." So made some calls and he's like, "We have a Kolsch strain. If you ferment it at like 60, you shouldn't get any of that yeast, that Kolsch yeast character. So to be on the safe side, we fermented it at 58, mm-hmm. and the next day we came in and it tasted like a super hoppy Kolsch.
Okay.
So we're like, you know, we're probably going to dump this. We'll see how it ends up. And like I said, we did two half barrels of it and we did it at festivals. And we had one guy said it was the best beer that he had at the summer Chicago Summer Ale Festival, which was, I looked at him like he was crazy, but
all right. Always awesome to hear, like, you never... Sometimes you never know what's going to hit with people.
Yeah. And it was so funny. One of the stops on our honeymoon, we went to Cologne, Germany, which is where the Kolsch style of beer, I mean, if you, that's the only place it can actually be brewed. Everywhere else, it's a Kolsch style. Mm. So it was so funny to drink these, like, amazing Kolsch beers and then to think about our Kolsch. I mean, ours was just, it was basically an anti-Kolsch. I mean, Kolsch should be, you know, really, really light, really low ABV, very, very subtle hot presence, very, very clear. Ours was like 8.5, really hoppy, hazy. I mean, the only way if we had done it, if there's only one other way that we could have made it any less like a Kolsch, and that was if we had used like dark grain and made it like a black Kolsch or something.
This is an American Kolsch.
This is an American Kolsch. We're just going to hop it and make it juicy.
Yeah. But, it did turn out. And
it was actually really good.
That guy came back to our booth, I think, 4 or 5 times. And he's like, "Are you going to put this in cans?" Or like, we're probably never going to brew this beer again. Like, this is a one and done, and we're never going to be able to replicate this because I don't want another tank exploding on me.
Yeah.
But, that was the glamorous part. It's stressful. I have lost several nights sleep worrying about sales and, you know, how I'm going to make deliveries and how I'm going to do this and that. But, I mean, what you love.
Yeah.
It makes it worth it. You know, when you have people that come up to you and you're like, "Oh, I've heard of you guys and I really dig your Saison," or, you know, "I had your black IPA. This is really awesome." Like, that
makes it all worth it. Yeah.
For sure.
Where's your hometown, by the way? You talked about it being...
It's Kewaunee, Illinois. So if you know where the Quad Cities are or Peoria, it's right in the middle of the two of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah. I went to school in Peoria, so it's 50 miles northwest of Peoria.
There's a lot of cornfields.
Lots of cornfields.
Well, I feel like we have to just mention the dogs before if people haven't...
Yeah.
Didn't listen to the previous episode.
Well,
name and...
So, one... I'm going to let you explain the Kiss, and then I'll explain the Tilly.
Okay.
So
There's dogs on both the cans.
There's
different dogs on both the cans of beer.
A big thing for us is, you know, our logo is Beefy, who's on the Kiss can. He was my original English Bulldog. He passed away That'll be 3 years in April, at the end of April, early May. He developed a cancerous tumor on his side, and by the end of it, he couldn't walk anymore, and the vet just kind of said, hey, you know, make him comfortable. He doesn't have much longer. So that was heartbreaking for me. One quick side note is when we were married, our friend Kabari is a good friend of ours. He actually did our vows for us, and he's the one that was the officiant. And, you know, he wrote the entire ceremony personalized to us. And I was doing really, really good until he brought out, you know, all the people that couldn't be there. Our grandparents. And
Jerome's godmother.
My godmother. And then, you know, I was doing good. And then he mentioned Beefy, like, looking down on us. And that's when I started welling up. Like, that was the hardest part for me.
Gee, thanks.
It's still, if I look at pictures of him, he was my buddy. I had him for 7 years, and, you know, tough times, good times, he was always there. So it was really tough for me to lose him. So a few months after that, I had always known about the Chicago English Bulldog Rescue, and we decided to start fostering English Bulldogs. So we fostered a couple of them. We currently have two. That we foster failed on. We had a guy named Charlie that we got last September.
Yeah, we've had him. We adopted him in December, but it's been a little over a year now since he graced us with his presence.
Okay. Yeah,
he's a guy on Tilly.
No.
Oh. We'll get to her in a second.
Yeah, he's not on a can yet. He's going to be probably on our Kolsch.
Okay.
A real
Kolsch.
Well, sort of. We're thinking about doing a coffee Kolsch and calling it Cheer Up Charlie, but yes.
But yeah, I picked up Charlie from the vet and I called him and I was just like, I just want to let you know we are definitely foster failing. He's like, what do you mean? And I was like, this dude is like just sitting, laying on the passenger seat of the car with his head on the console, just like staring at me. The cutest little face I've ever seen. We are definitely foster failing. And we did on Christmas.
And unfortunately, we thought we were going to have to put him down as well. Yeah. He was really sick when we got him. And then he did a complete 180, which we're super grateful for.
Yeah. So we started fostering. We had Daisy for a couple months. Obviously, we can't name a beer Daisy due to copyright. I can't think of words. Trademarking. There we go. With Half Acre. We want to do a beer maybe called like Dog Day or I don't remember what we're gonna call it. We're gonna do some probably like might be a New England style IPA.
Okay.
That we'll name after Daisy. But Tilly here, the Mango Pie Hefeweizen is named after our second foster, Matilda. And for similar reasons, we could not name the beer Matilda.
Okay.
Another small brewery.
Yeah. You may have heard of them. Yeah. They're very small, though. They're a little obscure. Matilda, it was our second foster, and she was from a puppy mill. They pulled, I think, 10 dogs from a puppy mill, and we got Matilda. And up until then, she didn't have a name. She had only had a number. When she came in, she was just known as number 16. So we had her for about 6 months. Sweetest little girl in the world. Just wanted to just love you. She was adopted out. Unfortunately, this past weekend, she had started having some behavioral issues, and her adoptive family noticed that she wasn't really able to walk as much. They did some x-rays, and they found a tumor on her spinal cord that actually caused her to become paralyzed. So, unfortunately, Tilly, was put down this weekend. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing an event, a fundraiser with the Tilly cans and all the proceeds going back to the Chicago English Bulldog Rescue.
I was wondering, how often you guys do like kind of a fundraiser thing because it's such an important part of the brand.
Yeah. So tentatively, right now it's going to be November 1st at Bitter Pops.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be from 7 to 9. It's a Wednesday, so if you can make it out, that'd be awesome. But we're going to be, you know, every beer that you buy is going to give you a raffle ticket, and we're going to be, you know, raffling off t-shirts. I recently, not that I need another hobby or something to take away my time from other things, but I recently started wood burning, so I've actually been making custom Bulldog coasters.
Oh, cool.
That I wood burn myself, and then I've been making glasses as well. So I think we'll probably raffle off some of those things. I might reach out to some other breweries that we know fairly well and see if they're willing to donate any items, and yeah, all the proceeds will go back to the rescue.
Nice.
Cool.
Awesome. That's all right. Okay. We're ending like on a downer here.
I know. Sorry. Wait. Tell me about Great American Beer Fest.
It was cool. Denver's always a fun town. You know, I think Denver's got like, Colorado's got like 300 breweries.
Jeez.
Chicago's got 71. Illinois's got like 150. Yeah. These guys have 300. So.
Yeah. I went out there a couple years ago for a friend of mine's bachelor party, and we hit Left Hand, Avery, Upslope, Great Divide, Crooked Stave. Mm-hmm. I think we ended up like hitting 8 or 9 breweries while we're out there.
Yeah, Cool Bars, Great Divide, and Crooked Stave are across the street.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's convenient.
There's a small one called Spang-a-Lang. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
So that, and it's all the same district, so Spang-a-Lang, Ratio, our mutual friend, all this stuff's like in the same area.
Yeah. Nice.
They, I think they do a good job of like having neighborhoods focus on breweries.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode then, right? A little recap of GABF. Heard about your guys' story. And so we'll look for your beer at Binnie's in Lincoln Park and down the list of other places it's at here in the Roscoe Village kind of neighborhood. So yeah, everyone check out and look for that. Possibly in cans, the milk stout.
I'll give in. it's what the consumer wants, right?
Yeah. So where can people keep up on what you guys are doing? And
the thing we update the most is probably our Facebook page. So it's just Facebook.com/BulldogBeerCo. Bulldog Beer Co.
And we're saying Bold, B-O-L-D.
B-O-L-D, yes. B-O-L-D, that is another change from the last time we were here, is we changed our name, because originally we were Old Bulldog Brewing, but we changed our name because our trademark lawyer suggested we do that sooner than later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was another change in the last couple of years. Okay.
So many changes.
We try to keep up with Instagram, again, just at Bulldog Beer Co. Twitter, at Bulldog Beer Co. I think we have a Tumblr and a Google Plus, but
never use it.
Never use it.
Just in case.
Don't even know what Tumblr is. So.
Awesome. Well, then, Nick, where can people find you then when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass, website chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version as well. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys.